Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
And good evening again, this March 28th, 2017. This is yours truly, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, host of Talk Straight. We are moving into a new market, a new city today, so we're expanding our reach. And for those of you that perhaps are listening for the very first time to Talk Straight, as you've heard, this is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and you've heard our information about how to contact us via our website, as well as a phone number, and there's also an email on that webpage. And for the sake of reiteration, that's www.bfcinstitute.com. Talk Straight is an online radio format designed by Building Families and Communities Institute to reach a national audience. We focus our weekly topics on real issues that confront families and communities. As host, we endeavor to engage you, the listening audience, as well as invited experts or guests to share on our shows that from time to time. We have now 11 cities that we're seeking to bring our seminar lecture to, and you can find the details of that, again, on our webpage. And that's the basis of our show. That lecture focuses very briefly on helping understand why so many young African-American males find themselves angry, frustrated, and too often incarcerated, if not losing their life ahead of time. The conversation that we engage in are designed to be educational, to be encouraging and motivating. We hope that you share with us, and we invite you to call. We continue to document and share relevant information. The show is a tool by which we develop case studies and or observation and participation in our efforts to record data and support for our research that is ongoing. Yours truly is a social scientist and researcher. And again, through our conversation, our interaction, we are documenting how we can improve the quality of lives for many. Tonight's show is entitled, Where's My Piece of the American Pie? You can join me here at Talk Street at 657-383-0944. Again, that number to call directly to the show, 657-383-0944. Normally, as we will do tonight, we give some sort of context for our conversation, our dialogue, by way of a monologue. And the hope is that we will have a frame of reference to for our conversation. We do have had callers call in from other cities for the first time, and they shared information about an issue that was going on in their particular city or their area. We definitely want to be sensitive to that and responsive. However, I'd like to reiterate the fact that the focus is to stay with the general topic that we have, relate that, and if there's an opportunity, we'll go back and look at how we can further research the issue that is brought to bear and see how we can, as a talk format, as a platform, engage those guests and individuals in those areas in substantive dialogue that will lead to resolution. And that's our primary intent, is to find solutions and resolutions to very common problems. As I mentioned a second ago, we're talking tonight about where's my piece of the American pie. All over America, there is someone who may feel that despite the wealth of the country, they have not yet received their share, quote, American pie, end quote. The appetite for American pie has some turning to robbing, some are turning to killing, and even stealing. Others have turned to using drugs, alcohol, gambling, and violence to fill the void. Tonight we want to talk about this American pie, and I hope by the end of our episode, you, our listening audience, and those that might participate with us will be able to learn a little bit more about your right as a citizen and how to get a piece of that pie. We're grateful to have with us, as normally I should say, our panelists, Pastor Ricky Waller, and he's going to be joining in and tuning in with us as well. And just a little bit, we're going to get through our monologue. We'll come back and we'll bring them in. And again, you can give us a call here at 657-383-0944. We'll be happy to engage you in just a little bit. I hope you enjoy our monologue. The topic again is, where's my piece of the American pie? In the King James Version of the Bible, John, the 8th chapter and the 36th verse reads, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter and the 17th verse reads very simply, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." I want to read that one more time. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. "Now the Lord is that Spirit." Y'all excuse me if I get a little happy. "And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." The Bill of Rights is the first of the 10 amendments to the United States Constitution, proposed in about 1787. There was bitter argument and battles over how the Constitution would be formally worded, I should say, in its ratification in 1789. And there was some disputes over how and what it was crafted to address, and particularly there were objections to people that were known as anti-federalists, people that didn't like the idea of federalized government running the new nation. The Bill of Rights Amendment added to the Constitution specific guarantees of personal freedoms and rights, clear limitations on the government's power in judicial and other proceedings, and explicit declarations that all powers not specifically delegated to Congress by the Constitution can reserve for the state or the people. That's key. This was what the dialogue and the argument was about. The concept that was codified in these amendments built upon those that are found in several earlier documents in history, including the Virginia Declaration of Rights and the English Bill of Rights that was written in 1689, along with the thing that the Roman government used, which set the tone for America's structure of government, a document known as the Magna Carta, that was written in 1215 A.D. I want to talk about a few amendments. There are 10 of them, as I mentioned, but I want to talk about the First Amendment. I'd like to speak about the Sixth Amendment, the 14th Amendment, and the 15th Amendment. Each of these specifically are directed to understanding the plight and concerns that I have witnessed in a number of cities that I've traveled to thus far, and this one I live in here in Nashville, particularly for young people who find themselves on the negative end of the law, caught up, hung up, and done up, toe up from the flow up. Excuse my colloquial expression. The First Amendment to the United States Constitution prohibits the making of any law respecting to establishing of a religion by government, ensuring that there is no prohibition on the free exercise of an individual's religious expression. We talked about religion in our last show. It keeps from abridging the freedom of speech on part of citizens, infringing on the freedom of the press, interfering with the right to peaceably assemble. We've seen a lot of protests. Sometimes it's not legal because it's not peaceable in its assembly. Or prohibiting the petitioning for a government redress or grievance. If people got a problem with the government, they got a right to say it. They got a right to express that and to hold those elected officials accountable to changing those things. We saw that in 1965 with the Civil Rights Act, and we saw it in 1964 with the Voting Rights Act. This particular amendment was adopted on December 15, 1891. As one of the 10 amendments that constitute the Bill of Rights. So the Constitution was ratified in 1789, and by 1791, they were able to modify it with these 10 amendments. One of this was the First Amendment. Interestingly enough, George Mason, who was known as a Constitutional Convention delegate and the drafter of the Virginia's Declaration of Rights that I made reference to earlier, proposed that the Constitution include a Bill of Rights listing, and guaranteeing the civil liberties or freedoms for citizens of the United States. However, other delegates, including future Bill of Rights drafter James Madison, this is where the debate was between Mason and Madison, disagreed, arguing that existing state guarantees of civil liberties were sufficient. In other words, each of the 13 states now that were forming had their own constitution and addressed this issue. And that to attempt to pass these on for all of the states, individual rights risk that making the statement or the assumption that if you didn't list all of the rights that may be abridged by people, then none of those will be protected. So it was about the wording and the implication of the wording. after this brief debate that went on between Mason and Madison, it was defeated. Mason's proposal was defeated, and they moved on. But we now have what we call the First Amendment of the United States, and it's been a long-lasting document we'll have looked to and sought counsel with. Now, I bring that up because I know that there are a lot of people who feel as though they have no voice. They feel as though I'm right to be illegal, to hustle and get my hustle on because don't nobody hear me. What I would argue to you is that, yes, you do have a right. And you have just as much right as an American citizen and to be respected according to what's on paper, that being the First Amendment of the United States. Okay? Now, there are a lot of brothers and sisters, white and black and even Hispanic, who find themselves in the criminal justice system or being accused of criminal acts. In addition to having a right to express yourself and to legally contest illegal acts on part of our government, the Sixth Amendment of the United States is the section of the Bill of Rights that guarantees a citizen's right to a speedy trial. If you're accused of something, you have a right to go before court within a certain time frame, a reasonable time frame, and have that challenge. A fair jury of your peers and an attorney if you decide that you need one and cannot afford one, and a chance to confront the witnesses who is accusing the defendant of a crime. This is your right to know who, what, and why accusing you. But you have a right to do that in a timely manner. Then let's look at the 13th Amendment just for a second. The 13th Amendment is that one that was ratified on December 18th, 1865. Now, of course, we know that the late President Lincoln used a executive order and proclamation in 1863 to stop Southern states from keeping slave trade going. But the Constitution included the 13th Amendment in 1865. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime, whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. I want to mark something here, put a pin right there. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except, that's a key word right there, as a punishment for the next key word, crime. Now, it is each individual state, according to the 10th Amendment, that has the right to determine, based on the will of the majority of the people of that state, what a crime is. I'm going to say something to you. Those that are most concerned about things that they believe are egregious and not fair to them, the best way you can deal with that is to become involved in your political community to challenge laws, particularly those that are deemed as criminal laws. If you don't believe that they should set you up, put you in a snare, you have every right to organize yourself politically and to elect individuals to represent your interests to make sure that those laws are reflective of your will and your interests. But nonetheless, that's what the 13th Amendment said. Unless you get caught up in the game and you're convicted of a crime, then we can take those rights away from you. Now, the 14th Amendment, which was July 9th, 1868, was adopted to the U.S. Constitution. This amendment addressed citizenship rights. So prior to that, they set you free, but you still don't have no rights as a citizen. 3 years later, now you got a right as a citizen, largely because what happened was after slavery ended, the Ku Klux Klan and other groups had come up with a system they called black codes. that made it difficult for you to move about without having a piece of paper to say that you had a right to be there. They really challenged your right to be free, essentially. And they did a lot of underhanded things to keep slaves under subjection and fear. So the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, July 9th, 1868, basically gave you rights of citizenship and equal protection of all of the United States laws, and was proposed in response to issues related to former slaves who were living in the South largely and being misused and abused after the Civil War. So you have a right as a citizen now, any citizen. Then lastly, the 15th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. This is one that's interesting. I made reference to the fact that you have a right to contest laws that you believe are unlawful, immoral, unethical, and that set you up in the game. Well, watch this. 15th Amendment of the United States Constitution prohibits the federal and state governments from denying a citizen. I just told you the 14th gave you rights of citizenship, right? But it prohibits any federal or state government from denying a citizen the right to vote based on the citizen's race, color, or previous condition of servitude. Your mama, your grandmama, or anybody else could have been a slave, but you have a right today as an American citizen to vote, to participate in the electoral process to determine who represents you in government. That's your right, and can't nobody take it away from you. Anybody tries, you got a right to come together, simple, and to speak your peace in the public. Where's my piece of the American pie? Brother Walker. Brother Waller.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You there, Pastor Waller?
I'm all right. How you doing, Pastor Doc Rick?
Man, I'm trying to find out where my pie is. I done ate dinner. I want some dessert now.
Oh, man, I tell you, you're saying something right there, brother. Yeah, you're really saying something right there. You know, you just want to know where it is, huh? I tell you, it's amazing that you have to wonder where it is. When the God does say that, you know, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
The fullness.
And when I think there's nothing missing right there when you say the fullness of it. Mm-hmm. And so I can only imagine, man, you know, you wonder where your piece of the pie. I would just think this world, man, that God, in his way of doing things, I think he prepared everything that you and I stand in need of. So I like to believe that it's right before you. You know, it's in reach. You know,
let me challenge you on that, Brother Preacher. Let me challenge you on that now. Let me challenge you.
Okay.
You say it's in reach, right?
It's in reach.
Okay, it's right there in front of me, right? Why I can't get it?
That's it. You know, why you can't get it is a good question. You know, if you put it right there before you and it's like, okay, you step out on faith and you get it. I know it's hard to do that. It's like I think he put it right there in that form of the knowledge of what he says, take my yoke. That's what he's saying. He said, I have it to offer you. You don't take it. You really don't need it. It's like, I'm offering it to you, but you don't trust me. That's if you don't take it, you know. You don't know what it means to reach out and receive it. Then that's what that is.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you got to reach out and receive it. Embrace it.
I see. So now, preacher, you and I are preachers. We're pastors. And we counsel people on spiritual matters on a regular basis, right?
Yes.
I have told people that they're free, and that that in fact God and His Son set them free, right? The text says, if watch this, under the condition, the Son, therefore, make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now, I wonder, Pastor, part of the issues with young people saying, forget what you're talking about doing things right, doing it legal, being moral and ethical, all that stuff, forget that, because I ain't free.
I'm like that slave
because I'm under criminal rule. What my whole life, my interest, my hustle, and everything I do has been deemed a crime. I ain't free, so forget all that.
No, you're not free right
now. Are you
there.
Walking with me now?
Yeah, you're not free. You're not free right there now.
Is that true, Pastor? Is that a legitimate claim?
Yeah, if you don't really know that you're free, then you really don't have nothing to stand on. But when that's why he's saying the truth. That's what makes you free, when you know the truth.
Okay. You messed me up now, bro, preacher. You messed me up now. You say the truth. Will you elaborate on that a little bit for me in the context of my pie now? What's the truth about where my pie is? Who got my pie?
Well, it's a head. You know, it's been given unto you, you know, by the one who made this day. Let's say, for instance, God said these words. The Lord said these words. Blessed be the Lord God who daily loaded you with benefits. So if he's loading you up with something for today, you know, don't worry about what happened yesterday or tomorrow, but today, I'm looking for peace. And that's something that I didn't know yesterday. And tomorrow's not here, so you don't have to put off for tomorrow to get your peace today. That's basically what I'm saying.
I get you.
Yeah, so,
I get you.
So there's something about made, you know, when you're being made free, you know it's becoming a day-to-day lifestyle of living because you've been made. That's it.
I'm going to shoot a question at you, and I want we're at the top of the hour. Let me go to our break, but when we come back, will you answer this question for me, Brother Preacher? Please do this for me. This will help me out.
Sir.
All right. I'm born in poverty in an urban city. I grow up not having the protection and the promise of security and basic amenities like a hot meal every day, 3 meals a day.
Right.
Keeping clean clothes, living in a healthy environment, and not having to run from and harm, right? I don't know nothing about church. I don't know nothing about the Bible. I really don't care about God. When we come back, will you answer for me, why should I feel that the Constitution and this stuff we read in the Bible applies to me? When we come back. Will you do that for me?
I'll give you what I got. Yes, sir, I do. I will do it.
Yes,
okay.
Sir, you listen to Talk Straight, and we're coming right back after this message.
Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up and be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked, where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute, New your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Talk Straight. This is yours truly, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We're talking tonight from the topic, Where's My Piece of the American Pie? Call us here at 60944. That's 657-383-0944. We're on with our regular panelist, Pastor Ricky Waller. He's going to take a stab at that question. Pastor, now, I'm in the epic experience that Bobby Womack just explained, almost like living on 110th Street. What does the Constitution and the Bible got to do with my experience?
Say that. What have to do with your experience?
What does the words of the 10th Amendment, the 1st Amendment, and all these amendments of the Constitution, or the Bible in John 8:36, what they got to do with me when I live on 110th Street?
Yeah, I can tell you only what I've experienced in my life, and those things you just named, those tools you just presented unto me, I knew nothing about them.
That's good enough. Talk to
me. And then so I had to go for what I learned.
Mm-hmm.
And you're out there with not a relationship with God in your life.
Right.
You only can go for what you know. It's not a lot you can do other than to try to get a feel of life within itself.
Right.
And I've learned what that had to do with me at that time was absolutely nothing. Because, and I'm saying that because of my ignorance or not knowing, or however you might want to put it together, I would have to say that I was just where I was, out in the world, and I had innocent eyes, innocent ears. And I, according to what I learned quickly. So all these things didn't actually matter to me except I heard about God. That was the only thing that I had going. I heard that someone said that God so loved the world.
Right.
That's all I knew.
Right.
That he gave the only begotten Son.
Yes, sir.
That whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's all I've ever heard. I didn't have no relationship
heard.
With anything.
Right.
So it had nothing to do with me staying on 40th Avenue.
That was your 110th Street, huh?
My street, brother.
Come
I knew
on,
nothing
man.
About
on,
the street. You may have had all the answers on 110th Street, but just wouldn't reach out to receive it. I don't know. I wasn't there.
Yes, sir.
But where I was, But where I was at, Pastor, I tell you, man, I had none of that. And I had a loving mother, you know, who I used to hear sometimes says, Lord, have mercy. I heard her say that time. And then she would say later on, thank you, Jesus. And I often wonder what that meant when she was thanking him one minute and later on down the line she was saying, thank you, Jesus, meaning that he must have came through for her.
I see.
And
I see.
So I locked into that. And for many years, when my life spent out of control, that's all I can do was say, Lord, have mercy one day, you know. I say that to say that's just the way it was, man.
Okay.
That's the way it was for me. And so, you know,
Well, let me tell you why I asked the question. Okay. Because I know sometimes people become offended when you seem to cast a doubt on the validity of church and the word of God and things of that. That's not the truth. That's not the God's word is valid. It's provable. It's practical. It's usable. Let me just say that, okay? However, if you are in the heat of of frustration and anger and your life seems to be a shamble, are you walking with me? Every day you're experiencing pain, not happiness. I read what the text says. I know what the text said. The text said, if under the condition, the Son therefore should make you free. How does that happen for me when I grow up in poverty and abject poverty and shame and things of that nature? You understand? Does that apply to me? Are you with me now, Brother Preacher?
Yeah, Pastor. You expound on things very well. You know that. So, you know, you're right there where you need to be.
All right. For the sake of our listening audience, let me just be clear. Let me answer my own question.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is, what's going to make young people who are struggling, and that's the whole intent of our traveling lecture series and in part this radio broadcast, is to help make them free. Not making excuses for them, but to give them the honest, unadulterated truth of reality, okay? And that is, no matter what you come from, no matter what you've been through, no matter how hard life has been for you, that does not erase the fact that when you come to know that doesn't have to be your end, your beginning doesn't have to be your end, that's what all motivates you to change, you see?
Definitely.
I had a young dude asked me, and his eyes were bloodshot red, looked at me in the eyes, and he said, man, I hear what you're saying, but you tell me, why should I put my stuff down? Because when you leave, I got to deal with this when you're gone. I understood where he was coming from.
That's all right.
You know?
Logically, he had a good point.
What that says to me is, it's not good enough for me, sir, to just come and talk about what's going on other places, but I have to help educate, empower, and build this brother and others like him up where he is so that they will have a fortified base of support for the changes that are necessary. This is why we're talking about going to these areas, because I realize that I can talk all day long, put some mark behind it.
That's it. You just expounded on it, as I said. You expounded on it very well, because that's what you have to do. You have to put action to it.
Right.
You know, that's what they're looking for. That's what they deserve, really.
Absolutely. You know, and we hear this all the time, Pastor, how people come with pipe dreams for you. You know what I mean? They got all kind of answers. And I'm talking about preachers now. I'm a pastor. I've been pastoring almost 20 years. Can you believe that? In fact, it was 20 years in February. Sir.
Congratulations, brother. My goodness.
Well, wow. I'm saying that to say I understand how this may unnerve some people, but I'm telling you what I know, not what I heard. You understand? You know, I'm telling you what's real. Yeah, that's telling you what's real now. This is, as they say in the street, keep the 100.
Yeah, that's what they deserve.
The truth is, my friend, is when we talk about the scriptures, until we're able to make even that word applicable or usable in people's lives in 2017, you might as well be speaking German, French, or Indonesian, Chinese, or something else.
Right. That's it.
You might as well be.
You may as well. You're right. You're just right.
I can't get mad at a person, male or female, who don't understand the language I'm speaking, and they continue to try to make sense out of their lives. So it seems to me I need to go somewhere and educate myself as to how to speak their language. Is that an unreasonable request?
I mean, that's what you should do.
That's, I mean, if I want to help them.
Yeah.
That is if I'm seeking to help them, right?
Yeah, that's appropriate to say. You know?
So,
it's,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying that's appropriate to say, you know?
Okay. All right. So I'm seeing somebody on the other side of this conversation. This is Talk Straight. It's your host, I'm going to say Brother Dockery today. You can call me right now. If your heart is pricked and you want to get in where you fit in. 657-383-0944. I don't care where you are in the world. Call us right now. We'll entertain your conversation. Yep, you may challenge me. I'm welcoming you to challenge my position. I may be wrong. Educate me today, but let's educate each other. We're talking about where's my piece of the American pie. Because we live in the United States of America, and because individuals were born here, they were naturalized here, that make them a citizen. I read to you in our monologue how after 1865, you were no longer legally forced into slavery. 1868, you were given rights of a citizen. As a citizen, you are a member of a political community. And if there is such thing as an American pie, who determines how much of that you can cut off for yourself but you? Who makes your pie? Who makes your pie but you? You got a right to make you as many pies as you want to.
Yeah.
I know I'm right about that.
That's good news right there.
Isn't that good news?
It is. It's good news.
You know,
it works.
Before my mother-in-law passed, every other year or so, we'd go to St. Louis to visit my wife and her family. And my mother-in-law would always promise to make pies for the occasion during Thanksgiving. And you know what I would do, don't you, Brother Pastor? I put a special request and make me two. Because my son was always going to want some of mine, and I said, well, make him one and make me one. You understand what I'm saying? If you don't mind, and whatever you need, I send you the money for the recipe. Whatever you need, no, don't worry about that. I'll make them. But I said that to say that part of your right as a citizen is to build for yourself what you want, the life that you want.
Hey, I'm going to have to get off the phone for a second.
Okay then. All right. Go right ahead. Okay.
Okay. I'm going to get you the phone in just a second.
All right.
Okay.
And so to that point, it's important for people to understand that you are in control of your destiny. You have a right to be, let me say it, even if you're not. There are some good people who want to find the answers as to how to do that. But you got a right to be in control of your destiny. You have a right to be in control of your life. You have a right to make sure that your life matters by the things that you say, the things that you do, and how you carry yourself in the context of law. Now, if I could, just for a second, we're lecturing now, and the number here is 657-383-0944. Feel free to call me. I'd like to dialogue with you. I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm your friend. And we ain't going to leave you nor forsake you. This is Talk Straight. This is your host, Ruben Dockery. We're talking about Where's My Piece of the Pie? And you'll notice that often I keep bringing our dialogue, our conversation, back to young males in particular. I was asked, focus on females. They need help too. That is so true. They do. But God himself set it up to where it is a man's responsibility when he finds a wife that he described as a good thing, it is his responsibility to take care of his family and his children. That's the context in which I'm trying to encourage folk to be in. Family. The institution of family. And when we can get back to that basis, young people will have a better basis of instruction, a better basis of security, a better basis of cultural awareness and context. Many people say we want to identify with our African roots. Wonderful. But you must have a foundation, a framework by which your values are maintained, and that is the family context. And so my aim is to educate, inspire, and to direct individuals to empower themselves with knowledge of self, knowledge of their ancestry, their heritage, their origin, most importantly, their right in America as a citizen. You do have a right. I know it seems like for many people that you don't, simply because out of a lack of knowledge, many people are not aware of the very simple things that I made reference to. Unfortunately, in our educational system, we're not teaching young people. Parents are not teaching. Oftentimes they leave it to the school to teach it, and that's not the interest of the school, depending on where you are, what region of the country. They don't even have civics in certain school systems that require you understand things about your constitutional rights. But it's important to really understand how this concept of the Bill of Rights apply to you. I know it was written in 1700s, but it has application in your life in 2017, 200-some years later. If you know how to use it, it can benefit you, even in America. I think about the young men that we have seen tragically lost over the year, last decade, to issues in the streets. Trayvon Martin, unfortunately, died due to no fault of his own. Brother Brown and Ferguson and Diablo and others who found themselves caught up in the situation. Many would argue they were doing nothing wrong, you know. Eric Garner in New York. The problem was they lived in a society, in a nation. Many of these people, young and old, and there was a conflict with the meaning and application of law, adherence to that law, that ultimately led to a loss of life. Now, as I mentioned in the monologue, you have a right to hold government accountable, according to the First Amendment. You have a right to hold elected officials accountable. But most importantly, you have a duty, as well as a right, to hold yourself accountable. Now, if I am going outside in the rain and I know that the rain is pouring down like cats and dogs, figuratively speaking, what I need to do is to make sure I go out there prepared if I don't want to get wet. That's why they make raincoats and make umbrellas and things of that nature, you understand? It is incumbent upon me to do what I must to keep myself dry, unless I just want to get wet. Now, some people, I mean, you may just want to get wet. But understand that there is a process. There is a means by which you can stay dry. In the rain that falls and drops, the storm and the rain, the tornadic weather, the hurricanes in America, there is a way to keep yourself safe and above certain suspicions. some people disagree with me on that. I recently looked at a piece on YouTube where Reverend Al Sharpton was in Baltimore, and apparently he was there for a speaking engagement. Some young men, it appears, knew that he was coming, and they laid wait on him. And as he got out of his vehicle, they lit into him. And they began to question him about, what you here for? What's going on? What you got going on, man? Interestingly enough, somebody said Al Sharpton was a black leader, as they did Jesse Jackson. That was the perfect opportunity to demonstrate to those young brothers who were straight from the hood, who only understood from the framework of what Bobby Womack was talking about, 110th Street, where it's a hustle, a day-by-day hustle to get by, trying to make things happen. That was a perfect opportunity to educate them brothers, to embrace them, and to leave something substantive with them. But he blew it. He blew it because that truth conflicted with a lot of the fallacies that he aligned himself with politically, socially. Some of the people even he aligned himself with, which is why I'm saying, again, when it comes to answering this question for young cats, brothers and sisters, where's my piece of American pie? Why should I be obedient to the law? Why should I honor, respect? You know, even with Donald Trump, some people don't like Trump. It's okay. You have a right not to like him. But guess what? It's not going to change. He's going to be the 46th president of the United States. 45th, I'm sorry. And get used to that. Get used to that. With that comes certain powers and some right. The question is, how can you position yourself to take advantage of your right that hadn't changed since he became the 45th president? You didn't lose your First Amendment right. You didn't lose your Sixth Amendment right. You didn't lose your 13th Amendment, 14th, 15th, or any other one, your constitutional right. They didn't go out the window when he came president. So the question is, what do you do with yourself to keep yourself in a position where you can take care of you? You know, one of our guests on said it best, you know, Mr. Abney from New Orleans. He said, I ain't worried about Obamacare. I'm going to care for me. I mean, it don't matter who the president is. I'm going to be down with me. I'm going to take care of me. You back with it, brother Pastor?
Yes, sir. I'm back, brother. Yes, sir. I just had to do some words
doing?
In there,
How
man.
Yeah. I mean, so when we think about the American dream, we know it is historically sound to say that when the framers of the American Constitution wrote it and drafted it, they were not directly thinking about Negroes who were mostly slaves. Not all of them. I know that may come to a shock to people, but not all Negroes in America were slaves.
Mm-hmm.
Primarily
Go ahead,
in
yeah.
the South. Yeah, primarily
right.
in the South, they were. There were free Negroes. But when they wrote the Constitution, they were really not talking about those people that were forced from their line, their original homeland, as involuntary immigrants to America and forced to American servitude in the perfidious institution that was known as slavery, American slave system. They didn't ask for that. All right? But thanks be to God. That this text right here came to reality. It came true when it says that now the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I believe that in 1857, when Dred Scott, a black man, ran from a slave state down south and came into Missouri in a part that was a free state, he caused a ruckus in America, caused the North and the South to get into a big fight with each other called the Civil War, all over whether or not he had a right to be free as a man. Unfortunately, the Supreme Court ruled that because he wasn't born there, he didn't have a right to American land. He came here as a slave, so he had to go back. But the truth of the matter is it caused people to start questioning the validity of that law, and it changed it over time. So apparently, the spirit of the Lord was in that. I want to believe. Somebody can challenge me if you don't agree with me. You don't have to agree with me. But I believe that the spirit that says that if something is wrong, it's got to be made right. that caused, I believe, Dred Scott to do what he did and to subsequently force the Supreme Court to change its position again and to give, by 1868, rights of citizenship. By 1865, end slavery and give in 68 rights of citizenship. And in 70, give you the voters' right. Now you're free. Where's your piece of the pie? It's wherever you want it to be. Go get it. You live in America, there's opportunity here. Get what you go, make something for yourself. Don't wait on nobody to give you nothing. Make it for yourself. God gave you skill and talent, and make something for yourself.
Did you say that? No. Keep on. Don't stop now. I said, did you just say that? Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
You said it.
Yes, sir. Here's the
problem. Go get it.
Too many. I grew up in the housing projects in Chicago. I've said before on this on air, and I realized that those circumstances did not have to determine what my end was going to be. And I refuse. I refuse to accept that as a constant or a reality for me. So yes, I had my dog moments, and I had my moments where I wanted to. Everything and everybody I saw, I wanted them to pay for my pain. But guess what? Didn't nobody owe me nothing but me. I owe it to myself to overcome that stuff and to do something for myself. And blessed be God, there's an opportunity to enlighten others to do likewise. So I'm saying that to say again that the pie that you're looking at, for a second, I want to analyze what's in a pie. What makes it a pie as opposed to a cake? What's the difference in a pie and a cake?
Come on now, talk to me.
You got rain pies, pumpkin pies, lemon pies, cherry pies, apple pies, peach pies. You understand what I'm saying? Well, I mean, What makes it a pie and not a cake?
Okay.
Well, pizza pies. You got pizza pies. Well, just right quickly, consider, if you will, that this is Talk Street. Call me here, 657-383-0944. Talk to me. Yeah, help me understand this thing about a pie. Different than a pie and a cake if I got it wrong. You know, a cake usually has flour. Has some sort of rising agent in it, either an egg or baking soda, has some sweetness to it, has that dough, you understand what I'm saying, and usually you put some sort of topping or icing on it, most people do anyway, not all of that icing on it, but it's fashioned in that way, you understand, most people like it two layers, a double decker, you understand, that's a cake, it's sweet. It does have in common with the pie that the pie is sweet. But the difference in the pie, in my observation, is the inside of it, huh?
Okay.
And how you make the dough.
Okay.
The dough is to lay down to become a base to hold some substance that will be cooked in the middle. I wish I had a prayer in church the other day. Unlike the cake rises, but the dough sits there, and the dough is sit there to hold the internal substance of the pie.
It just
sometimes,
okay.
Yeah. Your mama probably did just like my mama, Rick. Pastor Wallace. She probably put that across the apple pie where she laced it two or three times, and it looked like a diagonal. Oh man, talk what you talking about. You know, I got in trouble one time because I went in and I'm going to take the pie out the oven ahead of time. I didn't know that there was a secret to it. She said, baby, you got to let that crust get a little brown around the edge before it
and hold its ground, you know.
Come on.
Yeah, the hole is ground, brother.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
If it don't, I realize that when you cut it, all the substance is going to fall out. Fall from the bottom on you.
Yeah,
on,
man.
If you don't
goodness,
get it right
man.
Now. You got to get it right. You got to get it right.
Yes, you do. You got to get it right, man. No
don't
doubt about
it. Get
it
right. There you go. Listen, here we are again at the top of the hour, man. So gone. Where's the time
yeah.
going? Where's the time
it's
going?
Going.
Let me do this message. Let me do this message here, and we'll come right back, and we'll wrap up the last 30 minutes of the show here. God be our strength. God be our strength. Let's see here. Where we at? Where we? Okay, there we go.
Hello, listeners. This is your host, Reverend Reuben Dockery. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight on Blog Talk Radio. Here, you can share your thoughts as well as become informed about very important social issues confronting society today. Please take the time to visit my website at bfcinstitute.com. That's bfcinstitute.com to learn more about our efforts to educate, inspire, and empower disadvantaged families across America to improve the quality of life. The best way to stay in the loop of future broadcasts, times and locations for our traveling educational lecture series, and innovative ideas is to become a BFC Institute seminar participant. You may do so by clicking the Join Our Group tab on the home page. I would be delighted to respond to your suggestions and engage you further in most transformative information. Again, thank you for joining us, and I look forward to hearing from you online.
Everybody claims that they want the best things out of life. Walks around all day long singing,
Waller, author of the powerful book Still High, got it in the library, and it's a must read. It's a must read. You can get it right here on our website at www.bfcinstitute.com. Go to the our contact us link, and you'll hover over, and you'll see a backstore page. Not only is that book there, but there are some other items there that you can help us get this message out as we travel around to our targeted cities, as well as we continue our broadcast and all that we do in the interest of helping young people and families and communities. Make your contribution. When you buy the book, Pastor Wallace so graciously has committed to making a contribution to BFC Missions Incorporated, which is the nonprofit that BFC Institute is the research arm of. We're talking about where's my piece of the pie, of the American pie. And I think I just shared with you where it is. It's where you make it. Your pie is where you make it. Your pie is where you make it. Pastor, can you make a pie fully without heat, without a stove of some kind?
If you don't have the right ingredients or the right tools, you won't be able to do
uh-huh.
the pie.
It won't be a good pie, will it?
No, it wouldn't be effective, man. I don't think it would be the type of pie that you would be interested in. Saying, I'm going to make this pie all over again tomorrow. You know, you may not be, anybody, you know, you'd be having this pie all by yourself, but it wouldn't be worth giving to nobody, I don't think, you know. So, and I think you're making it very plain, you know, about how and what you have to do to make effective the pie.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have the
mm-hmm.
ingredients. And thank God is the right ingredients to get a piece of the pie and know that you qualify, you deserve it. And it's just about you stepping up to say, okay, I deserve. Because he said, take my here, I'm offering it to you. And that
right.
to me, you know, sounds to me that he's saying, trust me. I got this. You know, you when you came into existence, man, you know, you deserve what God has to offer you. The thing is, are you willing to put forth the effort to get it?
Uh-oh.
You know, man, why would he say whoever we are if he didn't mean for you to have it?
He's just playing games, huh? He's just playing around.
Yeah, why would he say that? I don't see that to be a good thing at all. Not at all.
Right.
Yeah, I don't see that to be a good thing at all.
I thought about my son was in the Scouts, and I would
mm-hmm.
say I committed myself to every Thursday night attending his meetings with him, and we went camping and things of that nature. And I was a representative for the Middle Tennessee Boy Scouts Association here in Nashville. And as such, I was assistant scout leader, right? And we had to go and learn how to teach the boys how to make food out in the wilderness.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
we had to learn how to build a box oven. And, man, I'm telling you, that thing can cook some food, dude. I'm telling you, man. Just using raw nature. You understand what I'm saying? And a box.
Yeah, man.
So the task was for my son to make a box oven that was fully functional and capable of cooking a cake and or a pie. Man, Pastor.
Mm-mm.
Guess
listen,
who the tester was? Guess who the tester
who?
Was?
Who's that? Yeah.
His mama.
He wants to make sure. Yeah, okay. And he passed.
His mama.
Yeah. That was a judge.
As a brother, not as effective.
Wow, brother.
I said
so
that to say, that's right. In other words, he had to try to follow her recipe and make it like mama made it.
Oh, man, I know he had a time with that.
He didn't quite. He fell a little short. He fell a little short.
Okay.
But he tried.
Well,
he tried.
But that's what counts. Yeah, that's
yes,
what
sir.
Counts. See, that you said something right there. And that's when he says, take my yoke on you and learn of me. He said, you may not know when you step up to me. You know, so you know, try him today. I bet you get that thing down pat, you know. So I just like to believe that because he tried, you know, you get to try him for yourself. And so he did.
Or he
yeah,
could have been
did.
Like Bobby Womack. Or he could have been like Bobby Womack's character, Harry Hipper.
Mm-hmm.
Harry and his
yeah.
wife.
Right.
Living life making excuses
right.
for their failure. Now, watch what I said now. Living life
mm-hmm.
making excuses for their failures. Yes,
listen
sometimes people do things to you, Pastor. Listen, sometimes society is not nice. And it may seem
yeah.
like life is not fair. But do not
mm-hmm.
victimize yourself. Don't ever tell yourself, I can't, I won't, and I ain't going to be nothing.
Right.
I want to go
right.
to something right quick. I want to go to something right quickly. Somebody yeah. has charged that if you are black and you come from a certain socioeconomic condition, that you are subject by the time from birth to 18 to have at least mm-hmm. some sort of record, even a juvenile record or an adult criminal record, that you will
right.
be in jail by the time you reach 21, spending at least a 3 to 5 year felony sentence, that you
right.
will make babies out of wedlock and not take care of the responsibility of raising your children before you
yeah.
turn 21, that you will wind up dead before you graduate from college or do any start a business or anything else. Somebody has charged that that's where you would be. Now watch this. The Sixth Amendment
wow.
of the Constitution says, in part, that you have a right and a chance to confront your accusers.
Mm, oh, my.
Now, if the devil in hell or anybody else tell you you ain't going to do nothing, you ain't come here and show me why. You prove to me I'm not. But more importantly, it's your opportunity to prove to yourself and the world that that's a lie that's been told.
Okay. That is.
In the court of public opinion, I'm going to make a lie out of the devil.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Most definitely, brother. That is amazing.
Now,
that's
it's
amazing,
one thing, sir. It's one thing for me to cheat somebody else, to lie to somebody else, or own somebody else. And it's another thing for me to cheat myself, to lie to or lie on myself.
Lie to or own myself? Did you just say lie to and lie on myself? Hey, man, you just hit me pretty hard right there. I remember lying to myself, lying on myself, man. I remember doing that, man.
My Lord.
I remember you took me back. You just took me back. Because, see, when I didn't have knowledge, when I had no information, I didn't have wisdom about this. I just said I was going to use drugs the rest of my life. Now,
see what
was that? Was it? That had to be a lie.
Yeah, that was a lie. That was a lie. Now, let me show you how you lied. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Why you do
that's
that? Why
deep.
You do that, Pat? Why you do that, Pat?
I believe because they say that the devil can't make you do nothing. Okay, he made me say it. He made me say it, man. So I was in his will. Listen, I'm in his will. What is he supposed to do? If I'm in
right.
God's will, he's supposed to be able to say, okay, I'm going to make you free. That's what he did. But when
no,
I was in
his
will, yeah, man, he brought me the truth.
Right.
You know, he brought me the truth, man. So, you know, that's just the way it was.
Now,
let me make
a distinction. Let me make a distinction between lying to yourself and lying on yourself. We tend
okay.
to lie to ourselves when we want to make excuses for not doing something for ourselves. That's
oh,
like
my
making
goodness.
A change. Huh?
Wow.
When we don't want to assume the responsibility to take care of ourselves, we'll lie to ourselves like we're incapable of doing so. That they won't let me do that. They are in my way, and that's why I can't do it. I'm lying to myself then. Are you with me?
Yes,
now,
sir.
I can lie on myself seeking the sympathy of other people by saying I'm just a drug addict. I'm just an alcoholic.
Oh.
I ain't
yes.
nobody. I ain't going to be. Now, I can't do nothing. Help me out. I'm lying on myself. I'm
oh,
lying
my.
On myself.
Yeah, I like that. That's what you're doing.
Yeah, you're lying on your ability. Who said it was going to be easy? Ain't nobody told me the road would be easy, but he brought us too far to leave us now.
Man, listen, man. That's some good information. Just keep flowing, brother, because you always have to realize that there's a difference between the devil saying to you, telling you what to do, and you do it. Versus
right.
say he's a liar and he's the father of lies, right?
Watch it now.
So no wonder. I'm looking at it now. No wonder I laughed at myself and owned myself. Oh, man.
Right.
But the truth
That's
came
right.
up. But the truth came up. Bless God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And the truth of the matter is that Matthew's 16:23, I believe it was, when Jesus turned to Peter and saw something corrupt in him. You know what he told Peter?
What's
that? Get behind me. Get thee behind me, Satan.
Good, man. I wonder why he told him that.
Because he saw something wasn't right in him.
Yeah, he knew. He had to know.
He saw a lie all over Peter.
Yeah.
Huh? You
in
know,
order for him to
see what
something had
right,
to be going on.
Right, it was something going on. And what I'm saying is, enemy is within you. When the enemy tries to convince you that you're incapable of making, first of all, let me back up. All right, we're going to make a pie right now, bro, Pastor. We're going to make a pie right quick, okay? And I want mine with some wheat. I want my flour to, I want a little flour and some wheat. You understand what I'm saying? So I got to go. I have to till some land, sir. Are you with me? I got to get some
yes,
seed.
Sir.
And I got to plant.
Gotcha.
I got to give
yeah.
it time. I got to give it time to grow. And then I got to harvest that wheat and that flour. Are you with me now?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then I got to go make myself a stove. However,
and
I got to get cooking.
And then,
right?
Have some ongoing
and then,
process.
Then I got to go get me some, I'm going to make me an apple pie, all right? Then I got to go get me some apples off a tree. I got to shave them. I got to, you know, cut them up right nice and everything. And then, I got to get me some sugar, a little sugar cane or something like that, you know what I mean? And put all that stuff together real nice, man, you know? And then I got to bake that thing. I got to give it time to finish baking, though. Otherwise, my crust going to fall apart on me.
Oh my, that's it.
But when it's right,
yeah. But when it's right,
in the process of time, I'll have me a pastor. I give me a cool glass of milk. I'm getting hungry right now.
Okay. Okay. All right.
All right, now.
Yeah.
I like a little milk
with.
From my pie. I don't know about nobody else. I like a little milk from my pie.
You got something to work with now. With a little warm taste of milk, huh?
Right. And you know, I like my pie about maybe 2 or 3 minutes out of the oven. Maybe five. I get 5 minutes out of it. Mm-hmm. That's enough time for it to cool down. Ain't too hot that it'll burn your mouth. You know, that sugar get hot, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think it'll be really hot.
In there. Huh?
Say so you wanted yours about 2 or 3 minutes, maybe 5 minutes when it come out of the...
Maybe 5 minutes.
Out of
there? Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's for an apple pie. That's an apple pie because that little syrup that's in it, and if it's a sweet potato pie or something like that, now, if it's a Lorraine pie, we're going to let it cool. We got to let it cool all together. Or a chess pie or something like that. You understand what I'm saying? Pecan pie, You know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it's according. What type of pie? You have
the
right
ingredients. The right ingredients to make the kind of pie you want. But at the end of the day, the answer to the question, where's my piece of the pie? Can I say something? I'm going to say this at the risk of sounding greedy. I don't just want a piece of pie. I want a whole pie.
Is that fair to say?
Why wouldn't you
want the whole pie?
Can I say something else? If I'm relying on somebody else to give it to me, maybe that's all they want me to have is a piece, and a small piece at that.
You might watch out. You might not give you enough piece at all. So, Yeah, I believe that the Lord was faithful, you know, in what he did when he dealt you a measure of faith. He gave you a peace.
Come on,
you
now.
See?
Come on now. Come on.
And that's got to make you a whole pie yourself anyway. So it's all right if they give you some. But if, this thing about they got the whole pie, won't give you nothing, won't give you no. I think that's what some of the people in the church are doing now. They got the pie, but they won't share it with people.
Ain't that low down? Ain't that low down?
Yeah, I think it's sad, man.
Now,
yeah.
So watch this. I'm going to be like Peter. When Peter realized that it was a grave mistake for him to tell the Savior not to wash his feet, when he learned the consequences, of not having his feet washed, he said,
I'm with you, Pastor. Come on back.
No, when Peter realized that there were consequences to not having his feet washed, he said, don't just stop there. Wash my whole body, man.
Wash the whole body.
So I don't just want a piece of pie of the American pie, but if it's such a beast, I want my own pie in America. Now I'm going to talk about...
I was thinking, why not have the whole pie, man? I mean, because that's what he gave you his faith for, to utilize it and make your whole pie. It's yours.
Right. I think Thursday we're going to address the issue of becoming an entrepreneur. And I believe that even if you can't read, you can't write, you can't do math, you can become a successful entrepreneur in America. And I'm going to share some information with our listening audience about how to do that this coming Thursday. That's going to be our show, How to Become an Entrepreneur. And my hope is that somebody will find proper ingredients to make themselves a pie that they're happy with. It could be a chicken pot pie. It could be a banana pie, sweet potato pie, whatever kind of pie you want. Make your own pie. Don't wait on nobody to cut you a piece. Huh?
Make your own pie, basically what you're saying. You got various kinds of pies, but you can make your own pie. Baby.
Make your own pie. Know what you want and make it. Go find out how to make it. But to answer the question again, where's my piece of the American pie? It's wherever you make it. That's where it is. We got a few minutes before we get out here. Anything else you want to bring before us, sir, before we bring this dialogue to a close?
Well, Pastor, I think, you know, you laid the foundation, you put the ingredients in there, and the only thing left now is for a person to reach out and to accept their pie. You know, if whether it's a piece or whether it is, you know, when you first make the whole pie, somehow or another, you will get a piece when you're in the right vicinity, in the right area. You know what I mean? When most things come, the pie is ready, you got to be there to get it. And so, I get a piece of it, man. And what I do with it after I get the piece is up to me.
Right. So this is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockman. We've been on with Pastor Waller for the last hour or so, and an hour and a half or so. And we're going to prepare to bring this show to a close. Meet us this coming Thursday on the 27th for our next episode, and we're going to be talking about becoming an entrepreneur, 7 o'clock p.m. We hope to have a guest on with us on Thursday night. But prepare yourself to join us. Look for us on Facebook. Look for us on Twitter. And look for us on the Blog Talk platform, Blog Talk Radio platform. And share with us your questions, comments. Give us a call at 615-498-4669. Visit the website, www.bfcinstitute.com. There you can learn all about our various initiatives, most important, our traveling series, how to make a secure contribution to our 501c3 nonprofit organization. We're grateful for your time, those that listen live, those that listen via archive. Be sure to get with us and join us in our conversation. You can send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. With that, we're going to leave with the mighty clouds of joy. If you don't know how to make a pie, ask the Lord this.
Praise the Lord. God, good thing. All the time. And all the time, God is good.